Begin the current and final daf Masechtas Kidim daf Chafei. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues and concludes the Mishnah from the previous daf, which spoke about a case where a woman was supposed to bring four birds, which is the pair of birds when she gives birth, and then additionally, achas l'nidra, which are two oilies. And the Kohen, instead of doing three on top, which because the two birds from the neder are oila, and the other one from the pair of birds of the yeledis, one is an oila, three on top and one on the bottom. He did two on top and two in the bottom. So there was one deviation, where, as we explained, there were other cases which were more, which could be for a total of even seven birds or eight birds that she has to bring, when really it could have been in the beginning, let's say, that she would have to bring only six birds, because let's say she didn't recall what her neder was. But on that theme, Omri Bishui says, Zeu Sha'amru. Regarding this, they say in general this following idea. Kishu Chai, when this isle, this ram was alive, Koila Yachar had one voice. Ukshu Meis, when it dies, Koila Shiva, it makes seven sounds. How so? Kate said Koila Shiva, says the Mishnah. How does it make seven sounds? So, Beis Karnav L'shtei Chatzaitzus, the two horns they use for two trumpets, which is for the Levim. When they sing the Shira, they play on the trumpets, because in contrast with the Gemara Menachas of Chavches Manav says that they made out of silver, that was referring to the Kehanim. Or that we could say that it's the difference because we're talking about the Shefa of Rish Hashanah. But that's two sounds from the two horns. Shtei Sheikov L'shnei Chalilim, it's two thighs, the bones they use for two flutes. Ayroi L'taif, it's skin, the hide they use for drums. Meyav L'navalim, its stomachs are for the lyre, a certain type of musical instrument. B'nei Meyav L'kinaris, its intestines they use to make strings for the harps. So that's a total of seven. And B'yashem, some say, which is similar to like we said on the top of the summit from the previous daf from Benazai, that he had on another one. And some say is Av Tzimri L'asas Tcheles, no, that even another sound it makes is its wool to make Tcheles, blue wool. Where what that has to do with sound is because they would make the me'il, which was one of the Kohen Gadol's garments, which was totally Tcheles, and there was a golden bell that was in the pomegranates, as the Gemara says, Zemachim da Peiches Mebeis. So that also made sound. But the Tanakhama doesn't count that, because it's not itself that makes sound, it's rather the golden bell that's making the sound. So, therefore, again, similar idea, where we see that there's something that made one sound, then ultimately it makes seven or eight sounds. So too, he said in our Mishnah that there was one mistake that was supposed to be done, and then, or another one, depending on what the neder was, but you have to end up bringing, instead of that, what you brought, you have to end up bringing another seven or eight, because of what ended up happening, as like we had for the death over here for the animal, for the mistake that was done regarding the error of the Kayan and the one who made the neder. Now the Masechta concludes that Reb Shimon ben Akashi Oimer, and the reason why we conclude with this teaching is because we just said that when the animal dies, it makes seven sounds. So also over here, the Mishnah concludes with this idea that the Ziknei Torah, the elders that learn Torah, when they get older, which is when they get weaker, similar to dying, where generally most people that their intelligence starts waning and starts getting distorted, they actually increase in wisdom. Or another reason why the Masechta concludes with this idea is because, as the Mishnah says in Masechta's Avos, Kinemar Parparois Lachachma. In other words, it needs a lot of Yishuv Das, a lot of deep consciousness and thought to be able to understand it, and therefore conclude with that idea that that's how the Talmudic sages are. So Reb Shimon HaKash Emrim, he says that Zikni Amaretz, the elders of the ignoramuses, those that don't learn Torah, Kozman Shem Askinim, the older that they get, when they become older, Daitum Mitarev Asalem, so their thought becomes disturbed. Like it says in Pasuk Neiv, Meisur Safa LeNemanim, even those that are Nemanim, that they're truthful, they're accurate in their understanding when they're younger, Hashem removes their lips, removes their speech from them, the Tamzikin Mikach, and the understanding of the elders, he removes, which it's talking about by Am Ha'aretz, as the Pasuk there says, Meisur Lev Rashi Am Ha'aretz. So we know it's talking about ignoramuses, that when they get older, Hashem takes away their understanding. Av Ziknei Torah Ein L'Kein. But regarding the elders that learn Torah, it's not like that. El Kozman Shemeskinim, the older that they get, Daitim Meseh Shev Eslam, more their thought and their consciousness actually settles in them. Shem HaKadosh says the Pasuk earlier there in Eiv, says, Bishishim Chachman, the aged is wisdom, which is obviously Tamet Chacham, because Amiratzim, what type of wisdom do they have? V'Oirich Yom Tevuna, and in the lengthy of days, is their understanding. Hanulach b'medvom, which I will turn to the third paragraph of Masechtas Kinim, paragraph b'medvom, like we said, was qualifying and saying, regarding the first two prakim, what happens with those taruvahs, with those mixtures, when there's actually a doubt that it even happens in the first place. When we said, when the bird goes from one to the second, to the third, to the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, coming back and going forth. V'slikala Masechtas Kinim, we have completed the Masechta of Kinim, which talks about these pairs of birds, but regarding the primary idea about the mixtures and the confusions and the computations, the permutations of the different obligations and doubts that arise in those confusions regarding the bird karbon. And with that, we begin, as we continue to Medbeis, the next Masechta, Masechta Tamid, which, as the title of the Masechta, talks about Tamid, the daily avodah that's done every day in the Beis HaMikdash, starting all the way from the beginning, which is really through the nighttime, which this halacha that we're opening up with regarding Shmira in the Beis HaMikdash, but that's also there throughout the night, and that's primarily what's happening through the night, because during the day they're doing avodas, but at nighttime they're watching, and then they immerse themselves and start off the avodah Trumas Hadashen. So therefore that's what we start off with regarding the daily avodah. Says the Mishnah, the first parak B'Shleish Mekaymes, that B'Shleish Mekaymes, in three places, HaKoyanim Shemim B'Beis HaMikdash, and specifically the Kahanim, they watch, they safeguard in the Beis HaMikdash in three places. Now, the Gemara is actually going to learn this out from a Pasuk, that the Beis HaMikdash needs to be protected, because if we didn't learn that from a Pasuk, I would have said there is no need for protection, because the Beis HaMikdash, what's called, is a Makom of Ashiris, of opulence. We don't need to protect that. We're not concerned with that. It wouldn't be appropriate that we have to, quote, protect the Beis HaMikdash, but that's exactly the custom that it requires a Shemira. What are the three places that the Kahanim specifically would watch? Because regarding the Levium, that's actually in different places. But the three places are Beveis Avtinas, which is a chamber where they would compound the incense, the Keteris. And Avtinas was the head of that family who they were very proficient in the Pitum HaKeteris, in the compounding of the Keteris, like the Gemara says, Yumin Dev Lama Chesem Rav, where they didn't want to actually teach others this Avodah. That was one place where they would watch. And the second place was Beis HaNitzutz, which was some type of a chamber that was open on one side, and the rays of the sun would shine in over there, which is from the term of Nitzutz, which therefore there was a lot of light. That's why this chamber was called Beis HaNitzutz. And the third one was the Beis HaMikdash, the place of the fires. And the reason why it was called that was because constantly there was many large fires over there, which was to warm up the Kahanim, who they walked barefoot on the stone floors, and they wore just one garment, and therefore they were very cold, and therefore they had to have these fires, and therefore that chamber was called Beis HaMikdash. So those are the three places the Kahanim were shomer. So the Mishnah explains that Beveis Avtinas and Beveis HaNitzus, so Hay Aliyas, they were upper chambers. So I'm not going to explain exactly what that was. Was there a lower chamber? The upper chamber was the only upper chamber, but they were upper chambers. Now, the reason why they were upper chambers, and actually all three places were because for the place where the Kahan would watch, it has to be a higher area. As the Gemara learns out from the Olavo, Lech B'Shrasucha, Kseis HaKasar, that the Levim, they were on the bottom near the gates. And that's why actually by the Levim, the Pasuk calls them the Shoyarim. They're the gatekeepers because their safeguarding was actually only by the gates. And the Kahanim, they were on the top, on the upper stories, on the higher part, like those who watch the cities. And all those who watch the cities watch by day and by night, and they don't sleep. And so too, these 24 places that were watched, as the Gemara learns out, that the Beis HaMikdash required, was watched day and night. Three places, as our Mishnah is told, were the Kahanim, and 21 places were safeguarded by the Levim. So the Mishnah says that Haravim, the young boys of the Kahanim, who didn't reach the age of Avodah, they're under 13, so they were very quick, and they could also climb up to these high areas. They were Shemim Shem, they would safeguard on those high areas. Now, Beis HaMikdash, the third place, the place of the fires, was a kippah, was a dome. Which means to say, the way the Mefarish explains it, was that there was a chamber built on stone because the Kahanim would safeguard over there. So it had to be built on a dome because their safeguarding has to be in a higher place, like we said in the Pasuk. So therefore, that was an elevation, the dome, that they would watch on top of that. And it was a large area which actually had four different smaller chambers, as the Gemara says later on, in the Masechtas Midas of Lamadal Marav, that opened up into this area of the Beis HaMikdash, which in the middle was a fire, and these four chambers open up on the other side. And it was Mukav Ravdin Shalev, and it was the perimeter was surrounded by these its tabois, which are these planks of hewn stone, which were sticking out of the wall. So around the wall had these planks coming out one over the other one, almost like steps. And on them, Zikni Beisav Yishenim Sham, the elders of that family that was doing the Avodah that next day, they would sleep over there, because they had to do the Avodah the next day, right away in the morning. And the reason why they were able to sleep over there was because actually Beis HaMikdash was actually half built Bakodesh and half Bachol. Half of it was not part of the Kedushas Hazar, and therefore that's where they were able to sleep, and half actually was. Now, Mafteches Hazar B'yadim, the keys of the courtyard were in the hands of the elders of that family of the Kanim to safeguard the doors of the Hazar. Now, Pirchikuna, the younger Kanim, I mean, they weren't the little boys who were watching, they were those who reached the age of Avodah, but they weren't the elders of the family. So, Ish Kiste Ba'aretz, each man had his pillow, which that's what a person puts beneath his head when he sleeps. Actually, the large one that's called a blanket is called a kar. This, the kistay, is his pillow. He slept with his pillow on the ground. They didn't sleep on these slabs of stone coming out of the wall. And lohay yashenim bebigdekayish. They didn't sleep with their kohanic garments. Elohayyapayshin, and as the Bach adds in the word, umakaplin, they took it off and they folded it. Umanichan lesintachas rishem, and they would put their kohanic garments beneath their heads. Umiskasim exosasim, and they would wear their own clothing when they would sleep at night. Now, if Ira Keri Lechman, if one of them had a seminal mission by nighttime, which makes him tummy, so Yaitziv Halakhla, he would go out and relieve as a Gatin type of Chavav Menal of Bimisiba, which was these type of tunnels that were made beneath Hahileches, and the Gersa takes out the word Loi, Hahileches Loi Tachas Abir, that went beneath the Beis HaMikdash. Now, that area was not sanctified because a Gibal Keri has to be sent out of two machnas, not only out of the Machna Kuhuna, but also out of the Machna Levi, as the Gemara says in Pesachim Nav Samach Zayin Mabez, we learn that from the Lachas of Zav that a Bal Keri has to be sent out of two machnas. So therefore, he couldn't stay in the area of the sanctified area, or even in the Harabais, which is Machna Leviyah. So he went beneath underneath the Beis HaMikdash in these tunnels. The Ne'er was Dolkin, and there were these candles that were lit there in the tunnel, Mekan on either side, and he would be descending down these steps, Atru Magila Beis HaTfil, until he reached the place of where there was a mikvah of immersion underground. Madura Hisasham, and there was a fire over there that where a person could dry up and warm himself up after he immersed himself there in the mikvah. Ubeis HaKiseh Shel Kaveh, and there was a lavatory, a restroom of dignity that was over there. And the reason for that is because the Mishnah says in Masechet Mikvayos that a Bal Keri that immersed himself and he didn't yet urinate, when he urinates he's going to be back tamei again because there's some droplets of semen in the urine. So therefore they made a basic keys over there that he could urinate before he goes and he immerses himself in the mikvah. And Zeha Yikvayde, why was it called a Beis HaKiseh Shel Kaveh? What was its dignity? Because Matzei Nol, if a person found it locked, and as the Bach says, the Gersa B'yudua She'yesh Shem Adam, then it's known that there's a person over there. You don't have to talk. Pesuch, if it was open, B'yudua She'yesh Shem Adam, then you know that there's nobody there and that one could use that lavatory. So Yored V'tavol, after he used the restroom, then he would go out and go down and immerse himself. All of in the stopik, he came up, he dried himself up. V'nescham k'neged amadur, and then he warmed himself up opposite the fire. And then then he went back to where he was in the Beis HaMikdash. He stayed there next to his brother Tzikahanim. Until the gates finally opened in the morning to do the Avodah. And then he went out and he left. Which actually the Rush brings, and there's a discussion in the Rishonim, how was he able to stay over there? Didn't we say that he has to leave from both machnas, which most definitely the Beis HaMikdash is half Bakodesh and half Bachoil. So there's different answers given, one of them being that they didn't make him leave in that amount of time that he was able to stay there. He's not let it come in, but it didn't require him to leave at that point in time. But in the morning time, when they went to do the Avodah, then he went and he left, because he wasn't supposed to be in the area of Kodesh. Says the Mishnah, Mishu writes a litter mesamizbech. Whoever wanted to go and do the Truma Sadesh, and do the Truma, which is the elevated portion of the ashes of the altar, which was the first Avodah done in the morning, Mashkim Etaybos, he would go up and he would immerse himself, before the deputy, before the one in charge, would come around. Now, says the Mishnah, what time did the one in charge come to see and decide who's going to do the Truma Sadashin? So says the Mishnah, not all times were the same. Sometimes he would come earlier, sometimes he would come later, as the Mishnah says in the first parak, that every day they would do the Truma Sadashin from the Mizbeach, from the time of the Kreis HaGever, either a little bit before, a little bit after. Yom Kippurim was from midnight, and by Yom Tovim they actually do it from even earlier, from the Ashmur Rishayna. So that's what the Mishnah says. Pa'amim shu bama kreis hagever. Sometimes he would come, which is actually most of the time, from kreis hagever. Now, what is kreis hagever? So the Gemara there in Yuma brings a machlik, as the Rav says, it's kara gavra, when the announcer, when a person would announce. Rav Shila said, no, it's gever also can mean a tarnagelis. It's when the roosters would be roosting, but both of them are basically around the early morning times, that around that time he would come. Oy samachla, either near it, mulfanlov, or ma'achrov, a little bit before, a little bit after that. That's usually when he would come. So the one in charge, he would come and he would bang on the doors of the Beis HaMoikid, which opened up into the Chel, to the unsanctified part, which was where the Kahanim would sleep. And they would open up for him that door. And he would say to them, whoever had immersed could come and be involved in the lottery, which was done in the Beis HaMoikid, because they didn't yet open up the gates of the Azara yet, because actually all the other lotteries were done in the Lishkas HaGazes, which was after already when they had opened up the Azara. So Hafisu, they would do a lottery, and Misha Zacha Zacha, by whoever won the lottery, merited to do the Avaida of the Trumas HaDesh.